What if you want to be investing in another city where you aren't currently living? What if you're in a small town and you want to invest in a larger metro like Phoenix, Atlanta, whatever that may be? The one key aspect with buying, a similar trait that we saw across all of the funds that we worked with and all the really high-level investors, was the emphasis on the median income level of where you were purchasing the property. And what? Welcome to Rescale, where I share the lessons I've learned while building our firm into a leading residential investment service company. My hope is that you use these lessons to optimize your real estate business and or holdings, and maybe someday we can partner alongside you to help you grow even more. Hope you share and enjoy. Cheers. Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of Rescale. Again, this is the second episode, so if you didn't see the first one, that was just basically an introduction. It's like the first day of college when you just do go over the syllabus. Just going to be discussing how to buy, do asset management, and do dispositions, buy, manage, sell at scale, so that hopefully you can apply it to your either real estate business and or portfolio and help you grow to eventually one day, maybe we can partner with you to help you grow even more. So I think it makes sense naturally, because it's the first step of the process, is to go over the buy side and all of the most important aspects, at least from my experience, when you're going to be purchasing, whether it's a single family rental or a small multi. Again, kind of my background is have been working with investors for a very long time, and have sold been a part of a billion in transactions. In 2021 to middle of 2022, we sold 1,000 homes to institutions, and it wasn't brokering the deal. We were facilitating the capital, doing the deal from start to finish, and dispoing to institutional funds. So the biggest piece, and again, we were doing that kind of across the country. We were buying a lot of homes at that time, and we still facilitate a lot of purchases with some of our internal funds. And it can be a bit daunting going into another city, basically, that you don't live in. I think everyone knows their local market if they've lived there for, 5, 10, 20 plus years. You understand, the pockets of the city and everything like that. But what if you want to be investing in another city where you aren't currently living? What if you're in a small town and you want to invest in a larger metro like Phoenix, Atlanta, whatever that may be? The one key aspect with buying, a similar trait that we saw across all of the funds that we worked with and all the really high-level investors, was the emphasis on the median income level of where you were purchasing the property. And what do I mean by the income level? Basically, how much do the median families that live in an area, how much do they make? And that will tell you a lot, right? And the easiest way to find this information for free is the FFIEC, the Federal Financial Institutions Examination Council, put together this. I mean, they have a lot of data, but they have basically a geo map where you can enter an address, and that'll spit out the census tract information. Now, a census tract, what is that? That is basically a hyper local boundary. And whenever you do the census, you are tied to a census tract, right? And they track income levels, they track, race, all demographics, everything like that. And that they kind of, again, it's very, very hyper local. You have zip codes, which can be huge areas. Then you have neighborhoods, and then you have census tracts, which we all know real estate is hyper local. So census tracts give you so much information. Within that, you have the income levels. And basically, the way that they define it, I'm hoping that I can put something on the screen right here, is they have 4 income levels that they assign to attract. One of 4 that they'll choose. It'll be upper, middle, moderate, and low income. Okay. And low income, basically they take the metropolitan or the city that the average or median family income is of that city and compares it to the census tract median family income. So for example, if it was a, if a census tract is labeled as lower income, the median family income for that tract will be less than 50% of the metropolitan median family income. So for example, let's say Phoenix's metro median family income is $80,000. For a census tract to be labeled as a low income, the median family income needs to be less than $40,000. For moderate, it is greater than or equal to 50%, but less than 80%. So that would be in this example of $80,000 metros, that would be $40,000 to $64,000. Middle income is greater than or equal to 80%, but less than 120%. So that would be $64,000 to $96,000. And then upper level income is greater than or equal to 120% of the median income in the metropolitan, which in this case would be greater than 96,000. Hey everyone, I'm not here to sell anything. So the only ask I have is that you help me spread the word so that we can help more people start or continue to scale their real estate business and portfolios to make better decisions and in the end, make more money. The only way we can do that is if you rate and review and share this podcast. It'll take a quick second and it'll mean the world to me, but maybe even more important for someone else out there. Thanks again. Cheers. It's very simple to follow. Upper, middle, moderate, and lower. All of the sharpest investors that we worked with that are holding properties long-term, you know, they plan to hold it for, you know, they're going to rent it out and hold it for more than a year at least. They are doing middle and upper incomes only. And this is very similar with our internal funds that we do as well. And there's a lot of reasons for that, right? What are the benefits of investing in only middle and upper incomes? You have stability and appreciation, right? Typically, you'll have more appreciation in higher income areas. Your quality of tenants will be higher because they make more money, typically, a little bit more stable. In those sorts of areas, you're going to have desirable amenities, parks, and you're going to have all this infrastructure, right? Shopping centers, public services, maybe sometimes better schools. You have sometimes longer term growth potential, just because you have more. Again, there's a reason why people invest in those upper income is because that's where people want to be. So more money will be cycling through that area. So there's just a lot of benefits. Now, why don't you want to invest in lower or moderate incomes? It's not to say that there isn't deals to be, there aren't deals there. There definitely are deals there. But the emphasis for this, remember, is about building a portfolio. So a long-term strategy, thinking with the end in mind. Do you want to be owning property in a lower or a moderate income? And when I say lower income, you probably all are thinking about some areas in your local cities that are like, oh, like just makes you kind of cringe a little bit, right? That it's just, it's not great. And do you want to be owning that property for 30 years, right? Probably not. And here's why. Obviously, quality of tenant will typically be lower, which can sometimes mean more property damage, lower, which results in lower cash flow. Higher tenant turnover, challenges with the overall tenant quality, limited appreciation potential, simply from the fact that you're probably going to have less investment from other people coming into the area to make it better. Now, governments can provide a lot of incentive, right? The opportunity zones were great incentive to help and build up areas and make them nicer. The other thing too is sometimes you have, you know, just from a purchase standpoint is, or even like from a refinance, you might have limited financing options because lenders might be more cautious for the area. And then sometimes when we're talking about government, there might be more regulatory and compliance challenges as an investor in an area, if that makes sense, like rent control, building codes, all that sorts of stuff. So there's a lot of factors. And again, I think if you're investing in your local area, you probably have a good finger on the pulse of where you want to be owning long-term and where you don't. If you're investing in other markets, though, I strongly suggest looking at this, using this resource to know what you're buying. Because at the end of the day, when I use this and I look at my local market, I mean, I'm born and raised in Tucson, Arizona, and I use this and I kind of click around and see the lower, moderate, middle, upper. I'm like, oh yeah, this is a great area, or that's not so great of an area, right? And it makes your life easier if you're looking at potentially investing in other cities. So again, I think it's one of the most important tools and really needs to be emphasized if you're looking to buy and rent, have a rental property long-term in your portfolio. I would make the bold statement in saying if you're planning to own property long-term in lower income areas, lower and moderate, you are probably costing yourselves hundreds of thousands of dollars over a 30-year timeline due to issues that can arise and potential appreciation you might be missing out on. It's a bold statement. And again, I'm not saying it's the end all be all that you can't invest in those areas. You can't invest in lower and moderate incomes. I just think it's more risky. And I think if you have a deal that's in a middle and upper income and the deal that's in lower and moderate might get more cash flow from the Excel perspective. But when you think about managing that asset and the tenants that you might have over that period of time, I don't think it's worth it. And this is also coming from someone who's had rental properties in lower and moderate income. I get the work orders and it's a stab in the heart every time, because you're like, oh, we're doing well this month. And then something happens. And it's not to say it won't happen in middle and upper. It just simply happens less. And I think if you're trying to own properties long-term, you want to own great properties in great locations. And obviously you want to get them at great prices, right? But with this, you can control the great location and the great property, right? The price is always negotiable, right? But I would say for this has been a game changer, and the top investment groups that we work with and that we know of follow this same methodology. So I would say follow the money and use it to your advantage. Thanks, everyone. I'll catch you in the next episode. See ya.